This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today is a Conversations with Carol show. Usually have it later in the month, but with the holidays coming and so forth, I thought, well, you know, let's just do it early, and especially with where all this energy is. So what that really means in the Conversations with Carol show is that there's really no specific topic. I am going to be sharing some of the energy updates that have been going on so you can start to make sense of what's going on, even though your mind is trying to figure it out. So no specific questions. What that means is I'm just going to be taking your calls and answering your questions. So if you have a question for me about your health, you want to talk about this crazy energy, you want to talk about decisions that you're making in your life, what 2013 is probably going to start out looking like, I am the person for you to call. So you can call me at 877-230-3062 in the U.S. and Canada. And then, of course, international callers, you can dial 877-230-3062. Just, of course, dial your international calling code. I'd also like to invite you to visit my website, www.ritberger.com, because I have under my Your Health teleclasses, which I hold on a regular basis, where I feature an illness, which, by the way, you're the ones that send me the suggestions for the topics that I cover on my Your Health teleclass. I've got a teleclass that's coming up this evening on Lyme disease, which is a topic that has been certainly offered many, many times. So, if you're interested in looking at illnesses from a holistic perspective, meaning really looking at them not only from the physical implications they have, but those hidden psychological contributors, also looking at illnesses from an energetic perspective, meaning what do they look like in the energy field? I share that. And then how do they affect the chakra system, that energy body of who we are and that part of us that really is the first indicator of any kind of disharmony or potential pre-illness in the body. And then also the role that personality plays in illnesses. There are actually 28 different illnesses that are listed on my website and gives you this holistic perspective. So if you have been diagnosed with an illness or you know someone who is living with an illness, I even have a free audio download of breast cancer that gets downloaded quite frequently. So again, if you have something that you're dealing with or a friend or a loved one is dealing with and you really want to look at a holistic perspective, and the reason I do that is because I've come to realize as a medical intuitive that we don't always have to heal on a physical level. I understand the importance of dealing with the physical body, but what I found as a medical intuitive, it's those underlying contributors that really keep that illness either continuing or reoccurrences to occur, and if we can heal at multiple levels, then the body is designed where it can heal itself. So again, 28 different illnesses. I even have a try before you buy feature on the different illnesses. You can listen to a very brief audio clip of the teleclass itself, and then also I have printable PDFs that are available for purchase. So if you want to go and look at one and you want to see if it's going to work for you, try before you buy, and then very nominal fee for both of those. And for all of you who have sent in your suggestions for teleclass topics, thank you very much. And for all of you as my listeners, I thank you very much for your continued support in the work that I do. So again, please check it out at www.ritberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. One of the things I said that I always do is I start the Conversations with Carol show talking about the energy, and the energy that we're entering into right now is one where gratitude has so much benefit, and it's being able to share that gratitude with people who have helped you in your life work and supporting your life work, as I do all of you, and appreciate all of you for the work that the support that you give me. But let's go back in and talk about the energy. It's a roller coaster. So any of you who don't maybe see yourself as intuitive, it's a roller coaster. And what that means is that the highs are really highs and the lows are like OMGs, really lows. And where we're finding, I'm finding that in the energy body and the physical body, the areas that are being really impacted by the energy right now as we're going back into that momentum is the second and fourth chakra. So I want to give you just a very brief overview of the 2012 energy because I think that it will offer insight on how to move through the end of the next 6 weeks, ending the 2012 through grace and through gratitude and in preparation for the 2013 energy. So we began the energy with the momentum of 2011, where it was very fast and very furious. Fast meaning that the time basically was compressing from the time we created thought to the manifestation of the experiences around that particular thought. And that's the compression and the quickening that we're talking about. The time where it used to be where we could create a thought, we could mull it around, ponder it for a while, and it may take months or years for it to manifest, that time is compressed. The furious part of the energy of 2012 is that it's been very emotionally charged. And emotions are exquisite barometers to let us know where we are at any moment. When we're experiencing negative emotions, it is our soul's way of using those emotions to basically say to us, something that you are thinking, doing, or saying is not in alignment with your core values, with who you really are. And in life, we have to compromise those. As long as we're aware that we're compromising them, they don't create any kind of disharmony in the energy field, nor do they create illness in the physical body. But emotions have really been really at a peak. The emotion that started out in the 2012 phenomenal was the emotion of anger. And again, over the course of my readings and my radio shows and the emails that I get, I had a lot of people saying, Carol, I'm not an angry person. I just can't experience, I can't understand why this anger is so wells up in me. It's so strong. It's like a venom that just kind of pours out of me. What is this really about? And the gift of anger is that it does bring to our awareness, both mentally and emotionally, that we are literally thinking something, again, that's not in alignment with who we are. Well, on May 25th, we entered into an annular solar eclipse, and that solar eclipse was higher in the northern hemisphere than has been in many years. And in that solar eclipse, what we experienced is we brought in the masculine energy of the southern hemisphere into the feminine of the northern hemisphere. So we had an opportunity in a stargate, as it said in many of the ancient writings, especially in the Egyptian teachings, a stargate opened for us to be able to look within and to find the connection we're looking for to live a life without the compromise of ourself or the fragmentation of the soul by finding the answers within instead of looking outwardly as we've been conditioned to do. And then on June 5th, we had a lunar eclipse, and that lunar eclipse was further south than the norm. And what that meant is that the feminine energy dropped into the masculine. And at that point in time, the portal, the stargate, closed. And then on June 6th, with Venus, the planet of love, in transit between Earth and the Sun, again, somewhat of a rare occurrence, but many are saying that this will not happen again for another 105 years, is that we created this momentum around clarity. And from June 6th until October 16th, we actually were in a time where energy was fast, compressed, from thought to manifestation, furious, meaning emotions. The emotions were help us find clarity. And our intuition became extremely active and very hyper aware of the things in our life that doesn't have congruency with who we really are. So we've been living that kind of clarity, and sometimes we feel like we may be bumbling and stumbling in the dark, and then other times we feel like, oh my gosh, we found exactly where we're supposed to be. We found our voice for many of us. And what that means is that we learn to say no, or we learn to express ourselves emotionally. Even if people didn't hear, we still expressed ourselves emotionally. And then on October 16th through November 3rd, we actually entered into another reflective, quiet time to basically take the things that we've become clear about and to be able to reflect on them Again, the energy ending 2012 is inward versus outward. So we're in a period of time where we could go in and reflect on our possibilities, our options that we had, look at the things in our life that were working. Humanness always looks at the things that aren't working and then try to figure out how to go through that minutia and that kind of quicksand of emotions to find out what is working. But the energy of 2012 and the clarity is be clear on what is working, and then that will help you see more clearly what isn't working so you can recognize you have different options. So on November 4th, we actually entered into movement. This movement is the same as it was before from the standpoint of fast, compression, and furious. However, the emotion that I have certainly found in the readings and the emails that I get is that it isn't really anger that is suffering, but I keep hearing people say about feeling this deep, deep sadness, and they can't seem to make sense of the sadness. And one of the things is that sadness and anger are bed buddies, as I call it, from the standpoint that one begets the other. And while most of us think that they are really kind of oppositional from the standpoint of the energy around them, the outcome of both anger and sadness creates despair and despondency. And so as you move into the next 6 weeks for the 2012 phenomena to basically break free for us to find that part of ourselves in clarity, focused on what we desire, commitment to be able to follow through on that clarity that we have, sometimes heads down, sometimes looking around, but to move forward, is that when that sadness comes up, is the best way to monitor sadness is to literally create gratitude. And we think of sadness as maybe looking at it from joyfulness and trying to find joy. Well, sometimes when you're down in the dumps, trying to find joy is a difficult task. And it compounds the problem. And then when we can't find the joy, then we get angry. And then we become sad because we're angry. And it's kind of like a dog chasing its tail in that phenomena. So when you hit this place of sadness, and even if you can't make sense of it or you don't know if it's you or it belongs to anybody else, then the energy that I encourage you to really resurrect and bring forward is something very simple. It's called gratitude. Gratitude, energy in the field, rectifies and resolves all conflict and polarity. What it does is it focuses on the things that we have, the parts of ourselves that we love, the things that we're capable of doing, the natural talents and skills, and it basically brings the real us forward. It frees us from the broken heart of sadness that we feel in our life around the things that we haven't done or the disappointment or despair, despondency, whatever, and it causes us to look at what we do have and what we have to be grateful for. Of course, we could say that this gratitude is certainly tied to the phenomena of Thanksgiving as we celebrate in the United States. The reality of it is it's the gratefulness and the gratitude that comes around the fact that we survive, we thrive, we learn, we grow, we evolve, we teach others, and that we can start the cycle in a very healthy way and shorten the cycle of suffering and self-judgment and be able to find ourselves deep within ourselves, lift our spirits, get back to our core values, and those are all the things that gratitude does. I'm going to continue to talk about the energy of 2012 and how it's affecting the physical body and the chakras, the second and fourth chakra, but I want to jump in because it really is a Conversations with Carol show, so I want to jump in, and let's go Lou from New York. Hi, sweet. Hi, are we on a cell phone, my love? Okay, I'm going to go to Dee in Sacramento. Hi, Dee.
Thanks for taking my call. This is really
You are welcome, hon.
Yes, gratitude. You know, I've lost my gratitude with this thing that's happening with my son, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about his condition. He's in the hospital. And it just has happened within the last week and a half. Massive infection that has left him paralyzed from the waist down. And we're trying to get the best treatment for him, but we don't really know exactly what we're dealing with.
Okay, so very good, because I was very aware based on the email that you sent, what was going on. So they actually have not diagnosed him, huh, sweetie?
Well, they just said it was a staph infection. They didn't think it was MRSA, but they he's been in two different hospitals now, and they just said a massive staph infection. He's being treated for that, but he's paralyzed, and we want the best treatment for him. We don't really know what started this. And it's just been something that's happened overnight, and now we're trying to get him placed in a rehab facility, but we're running into problems with his insurance, and they're placing him in a facility that will not rehab him. I just don't want him at this facility where they're placing him. I don't feel it's right for him, and so we're starting to, you know, fight this. And I just don't know where to begin.
Absolutely. The best thing to do, honey, as far as the insurance part of it and to be able to work around that is to really befriend the doctors because they are going to be your very, very best friends in this particular process to move him to a facility that will give him what he needs. And while I understand the insurance and the power that insurance has, the reality of it is insurance will abdicate their power to a doctor, especially if there is the criticalness as there is with your son in order to get him the rehab that he needs. So
neurosurgeon recommended that he be placed in a facility that, this one in Santa Clara, California, kind of a cutting-edge facility that deals with spinal injuries, and the insurance company has overrided that and placed him in a different facility.
Okay.
He was just placed last night.
Right. So, Dee, you're going to put on that warrior suite and continue this process, continue working with the neurosurgeon. My sense is that the paralysis will subside to some extent. It does feel to me that there will be some long-term lingering effects that will most likely be able to be overcome over the period of time. The staph infection that he got, actually, it does not feel like MRSA. That is very, very true. It does feel like it has either a meningitis or a encephalitis. Energy about it. It feels like it came on suddenly, not because of something that was lingering in his body, but something that actually attacked his body that caused his body to attack itself. And my sense is that the paralysis aspect is the way that the infection actually attacked the brain itself and in the nerve stem, the brain stem itself. And my sense is that even if he is having to go to Lodi, is that looking at Lodi, so let's do the gratitude part, looking at the Lodi facility is finding out through the neurosurgeon what kind of treatment is available, not so much for the paralysis part, but just being able to control and manage the infection itself. And then while that process is taking place, then the body can go into its restorative stage. And then what you can do is then you can go to the neurosurgeon, go to the hospital head, go to wherever you need to in order to have the hospital become your best friend, the administrative force your best friend, and say that this is where he needs to go. And to right now just get that. The gratitude is just let's get that infection to a place where it has, it's not going to continue to run rampant from the standpoint that the immune system is going to continue to attack the central nervous system. And that's exactly what's happened because the infection attacked his brain. And as a result, it created, it was in not only the blood, but it was in the spinal fluid as well. So
they took this line, they operated and took the fluid off of his spine.
Good, good. Yeah. And that's one of the things is that, You know, we have several different ways that we can get rid of infection. Antibiotics are usually used, but in the case of an infection that overwhelms the body, then other things are needed to take place, which is exactly what it is. I really do believe that the paralysis that he's experiencing will rectify itself over the course of time. And the thing that it feels to me that from working with the neurosurgeon and with the administration is what his body is experiencing is in many ways the same thing that happens with stroke. So while we can manage the infection, if we can get the movement, we can get to this other place, the cutting edge, I would go down to Santa Clara. I would talk to him. I would find out what it is. I would ask him, how do you work around this? I would have him talk to the neurosurgeon. I would go beyond the insurance company and dot every I, cross every T, and then basically overwhelm the insurance company and then let those people who are adept at this, the doctors, the hospitals, Santa Clara and everything, basically bully. I'm going to use that word because that's what it's going to take to bully the insurance company to get the care that he needs. And so there is some benefit from him being in the facility in Lodi at this point in time. And then, honey, put your warrior suit on and let's go for
it. Okay. So the benefit of being in Lodi is?
That they're going to continue to treat the infection. And the most important thing is that in order to get the body to restore itself the way that it's capable of doing, this has a lot of energy of, like I said, a stroke. It isn't, sweetie. I just have to kind of give you some ways to look at it, or Bell's palsy. I can pick up things like that, or some of the neurological traumas that are associated with MRSA. So even though it's none of those things, the common denominator is it's that staph infection, and it actually feels like it was something that came through a bite or something like that. It came on too quickly for it to be something that was lingering in his body for any length of time. So that's the benefit,
okay.
And then, like I say, honey, put your warrior suit on and let's just go for it.
Okay, it's on. So I appreciate this very much, Carol, and I'll...
You're welcome, and I understand we're going to talk on Friday.
Yes,
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thanks very much.
We'll talk on Friday. You are most welcome, honey.
I'll get back in gratitude, too,
Yeah.
That'll help.
Well, and again, I think that's the thing. If you can look at the fact that he is going to have the care that he needs as far as managing the infection itself, I think that's something to be very grateful for, whether it's Lodi or any of the other hospitals.
Okay.
That is the first and foremost thing.
Yes, they are treating that still. So.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carol.
You are welcome, sweet. I'll talk to you on Friday. All right, Deborah from Sacramento. Hi, sweet.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Well, 2012, that makes a lot of sense what you said about 2012. Yes, and my question for you is I had a friend pass recently, and it affected me in a way that I didn't think it would, and I have been struggling with some issues myself, and I started taking MSM for joint pain. And I have all these thoughts running through my head, and I think that maybe I'm doing something wrong, and I'm having a lot of fear come into my life now because of my thing. And I just wondered what you your thoughts were on that.
The first thing that the soul that transitioned gave you is they gave you an opportunity to step back, go within, and look at your life.
Yeah.
And that is one of the great gifts that anyone who transition, even, you know, a human or animal, when they transition, is that it's like it creates a new page in our life that we can literally write whatever we want. We can create the steps that we need to be able to fulfill our destiny, to be able to look at our life differently. And when you went inside, honey, and you started looking at your life, I can feel that sadness around it. And we all have it. We're very human. But I can feel that sadness. And I can tell you that sadness is something that you know, you're kind of like the ever ready bunny. You just keep on going and going and going. And what you do is sometimes you suppress your own needs in the process of being able to bring yourself forward. And I think the gift is when you went inside, you started looking at your life, getting this clarity that we've been talking about, using sadness to realize how much of yourself that honestly we all give away, you've given away, that settles in your joints, and that's where you're holding that sadness. The fear is that when we start getting the joint pain and the neuromuscular pain, then what occurs is that we actually go in and we start to realize how much we've held ourselves in control. And that's what a lot of joint and muscle pain is about. So in that particular case, what you will want to do is to go in, and I would encourage you to look at the healing of where you are and to look at the fear associated with not having the mobility and the kind of the mortality of life and the finality of life and looking at your life differently. Is I would look at going in and just doing some emotional release work and letting go of that sadness. And again, that sadness can be let go by looking at what you're grateful for. And really, when sometimes we have to dig deep, but when we look at what we're grateful for, then we're able to go ahead and to be able to pull ourselves. It's kind of that transcendence part of our evolutionary cycle of personal growth is we rise above and we move beyond. We're like the phoenix rising. And this is what your friend has really helped you to be able to go in and look at and to really look at what do you want 2013 to look like? What do you want the rest of 2012 to look like? And then to create this new page that you have in your life that was given to you as this gift, and to create on this page what you would like your life to look like from gratitude, from joy, from grace, from peacefulness, and to be able to let go of the things that are binding you, that are holding you back. And again, in my world as a medical intuitive, that's joint pain and so forth. The MSM certainly works from a physical standpoint, but I really think that you've been given the gift to do this from a psychological standpoint. All right. Well, what I want to do is I want to jump in and I want to take a very quick commercial break. I'm going to come back and talk about the energy and the chakras of the 2 and 4. Fourth chakra, kind of what that looks like. And I'm going to take some more calls, so stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
We'll be right back.
Well, welcome back. And if you are just joining me today, it's a Conversations with Carol show. And what that means is that really no topic. I've been talking about the energy and the cycle that we've been in and what 2012 is all about and the preparation for 2013 in the first segment. So if you were unable to listen to that part of the show, you can always go back into my archives, www.rickberger.com. Just go and put the cursor on the radio tab, or the radio tab at the top of the page. I had to think about that for a moment. And then you will see archives, and then you just click on the show for today, and then you'll be able to re-listen to the show in completion. So in that particular standpoint, I am taking your calls, no particular topics. I am going to talk a little bit more about the energy itself. So if you'd like to discuss the energy or things that are going on in your life or your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That's good for U.S. and international callers. And then, of course, international U.S. Canadian callers and international callers, dial your international calling code, and then 877-230-3062. One of the things that I do both for my teleclasses and for my radio show is I always ask people, help me out. What are you interested in? What topics would you like me to discuss? What illnesses would you like me to look at as a medical intuitive from a holistic perspective? So if you do have a suggestion for me, specifically around my radio show, then what I encourage you to do is just go to, again, the tab, radio, and then what you want to do is click on the show schedule, and right in the upper right-hand side, you'll have show suggestion. Send me an email and let me know what topics are of interest to you, and then I will bring those topics forward as I continue on doing my shows. So again, show suggestion, go to my website, www.rickberger.com. If you have a teleclass suggestion, go to my homepage, www.rickberger.com. Submit your suggestions, and then I will add those to the list of suggestions that I have, and then I will present either a Your Health teleclass on the topic or a show. So again, best way to do it is visit my website, www.rickberger.com. Okay, let's talk about the energy a little bit more and finishing up. I was talking about the emotion of sadness and how we can heal sadness. The best way for us to heal sadness and to change the energetics around it is to focus on gratitude. Looking at the things that basically you are very appreciative of, you're very grateful for. What gratitude does in the brain is it actually talks to the pleasure part of the brain, and it asks the brain to release the endorphin neurotransmitter combination of dopamine. And dopamine is the feel-good neurotransmitter that the body responds to that causes our emotions to become light, our attitudes to change, and our body to go into that healing perspective and creating that hormonal balance and also that energetic balance. So when we experience gratitude, and it doesn't have to be that we have to go on and on and on, the minute that we just basically experience something in gratitude, it's like many times in the morning when I am in the shower and everything, it's just I love to be able to have the warm water, to have the freedom to have the flow of the warm water, something as simple as that. And I can feel my spirits lift. I can feel my body just calm and relax. And so it doesn't have to be where we have to go through a long list of everything that we're grateful for, but the things that we're grateful for, the roof over our head, the electricity that we have, the food in our tummies, the being warm. Hurricane Sandy, the superstorm in the United States, has certainly brought the awareness to all of us about being grateful for the things that sometimes, honestly, we take for is always going to happen. So again, what gratitude looks like in the body is it releases the endorphins, neurotransmitters, dopamine, and then we have this feel-good feeling. What it looks like in the energy field is it's just like just kind of being on a very, very hot day and being able to jump into a cool pool. From an energetic standpoint, gratitude just flows through the body effortlessly in a calming, graceful, joyful, peaceful fashion, a vibrational standpoint. And what we do is we find ourselves at a place of peace. And that peace that we feel in the energy field equates to the peace and the calmness that we feel in the physical body. But gratitude is not only affects us energetically, it affects the field of group consciousness, and it is a gift not only from ourselves to ourselves, but also from the universe to us. The energy that we're entering into as we complete the 2012 cycle and we enter into the 2013 is all around cause and effect. This is why we've had so much focus on clarity, is that what we're doing is we're looking at our thoughts, our emotions, our attitudes, our perspectives of ourself, the self-judgment perspectives of others, and we're being able, those are all the initiator of the cause. And what the clarity is doing is showing us that if our thoughts are ill toward ourselves, then they can create illness or fragmentation of the soul. They can create illness in the physical body, first and foremost in the form of pre-illness in the energy body, and then ultimately over the course of time, body's so exquisite, it keeps trying to build detours and heal and heal and heal while we're trying to destroy, destroy, destroy. And then over the course of time, though, the body reaches a place and goes, you know, I really just don't know what to do. So as we're entering into closing out the 2012 and 2013, keep in mind the law of cause and effect. Everything that we do has an outcome associated with it. If the outcome that you are experiencing is not something that you desire, then the best way to work with it is to go back to the cause. And those cause can be thoughts, and in my world I find attitudes, and one of the best ways to break attitudes is gratitude. And so again, you can see how it cycles back. And when you feel sadness, then what you do is you go in and you look at the cause of that sadness. Is it yours? Does it belong to someone else? Is it sadness that you're feeling as an empath in the whole kind of group consciousness, or is it something that is sad within your life that is offering you an opportunity to step back, go inward, look at it, what can you do to change it, and then be able to create a different kind of outcome by changing the cause. This is really a time of transcendence. That time of transcendence is to rise above and move beyond where we currently are, shift our perception, let go of self-judgment, and then as a result, we will let go of the suffering that seems to have a hold on us that creates both that anger and sadness. So I'll probably close out the show with a couple of other things, but what I do want to do, let's jump to Sharon from Ohio. Hi, sweetie. Thanks for being on the line.
Oh, hi, Carol. Thanks for explaining all that about, you know, the times coming up. That was just beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you know, I live in an older home, and I've had chronic fatigue and environmental illness, and I've had some leaky pipes and mold here, and leaky roof, and the latest thing is they had to put in a new furnace. This all happened in 3 months, and they had to use some glues, and the new furnaces here are coated with oil. So I was gone for a few days, and I came back, and I'm pretty sick now. And just not sure what to do. I mean, I think if I could go away somewhere and be in a sauna, you know, twice a day, but I don't have that option right now.
Right, right. So let's look at what you can do. Ultimately, you're going to move, sweetie.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, you will. And I think that it's going to honestly be sooner than later.
Oh,
That doesn't mean before Christmas, but your awareness of how you feel when you're not in that space. And it isn't that it is the home, the way we think of the emotional part of the home. The house is sick. The land is sick. And it's vibrationally, it feels like a sinkhole to me.
Yeah.
Do you know much about the land itself and the history behind it?
Well, I think that, it used to be maybe Indian property, and I think maybe some of the place around here would have been Indian burial grounds.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
like
it feels like it feels to me, and thank you for sharing that, sweetie, excuse me for cutting you off, but it feels to me that the specific area where your house is, and I can pick up the burial energy around it, but this felt like it was maybe a hospital or some place that people came to in order to work with their medicine Native American medicine ways, there felt like there was a lot of mental anguish in that area, and the house itself is just, it's sick. And I can say this because I can feel deep down inside that you know this. It may not be something that you can go out and, you know, put a headline on a front page paper, but I know that you know what I'm talking about. Because when I feel you leave this area, leave your house, and you're gone for, you know, 36, 48 hours, you feel completely different to me.
Yeah.
And when you talked about the sauna, the gift of the sauna is it burns toxins. It removes toxins from the body. So in this particular case where you'd like to go someplace where you could, you know, just kind of be out in the sun and, you know, remove the toxins, I think that metaphorically your body was telling you that if you could find a place that you could go, that you could look at sauna or you could do ionic bath, foot baths and things like that, you can remove a lot of the toxins that's basically just overwhelming your body.
Yeah.
And again, it's something that if you're, you know, as long as you're there, it feels to me like it needs to be done on a daily basis. You need to just get out of the house, hon.
Mm-hmm.
And go someplace where you perceive is a healing place for you. I understand where you, you know, I can see you really weighing a lot of things of where you'd like to move. From the standpoint of being warm and sunshine and not having the cold and having the dank and the darkness and kind of the dampness and so forth and the mold aspect of it. So, I mean, you're going to move those there's two places that feels like you're considering. But you're going to do that. But in the meantime, what can we do to be able to help you? And honestly, the sauna. Now, I do need to be careful with that. What I'm picking up energetically is we don't want to put you in a sauna for a long time. We just want to build you up to it. All we want to do is start the detoxification.
Right.
We want to get the immune system turning itself around to the point where it uses its inflammatory reaction to be able to rid the body of toxin instead of contributing to the buildup of toxin that's in your body.
Right.
I was thinking, you know, what can we do with the house itself from a physical standpoint? I can't go there yet, so because I keep getting pulled back to the energetic standpoint. Is there a Native American healing circle? Are there a group of Native American shamans or ancestry of shamans within your community that you could meet with and ask them if they could do a drumming ritual with your place?
You know, I'm not real sure. It seems like a flower shop once a year hosts them to come, some Native Americans to come talk. So that's the only thing I would know to call them.
Why don't you start there?
Yeah.
Why don't you start there? I mean, we could bring in someone with feng shui. I mean, that could help the energy and the chi. But the thing is it feels like we need to bring the true medicine, the Native American vibrational medicine, the drums, the rattles, the chants, their songs in order to be able to heal the land. I'm not really looking at wanting to heal the land as much as I am, sweetie, of wanting to heal the house as much as I'm wanting to restore health and well-being to the land itself. I know that the vortex, this inverted vortex that feels like a sinkhole to me, just needs to be talked to. It needs to be vibrationally acknowledged and to be able to bring itself back into some form of balance. And I honestly don't feel like crystals are going to do it. I feel like we just need to bring back the energy of the healers of the Native Americans to be able to make this land whole and healthy again in order to honor the burial grounds around it. And I feel very strongly about that. The healing of the house is something that it almost feels like to me like we need to tear it down, and I don't know that that's an option.
Well, you know, that's the whole thing about moving, Carol. I mean, I definitely feel better in other places, and because I have been sick, I know this it's kind of a catch-22 because this place keeps me in a place of illness, and yet on the other hand, you know, I don't pay rent, and I'm not sure that I'm strong enough to work. I was a nurse, and I would do more holistic, though. I would not, you know.
Right.
So if I felt like I could get out of here, I was hoping maybe somebody, like there are some businesses down the road. It's really residential, but I was hoping maybe somebody would buy it for that reason, but I don't know what my chances in that are. And then I would get enough money to be able to move and then work later down the line.
Right, right. I pick up that you have money.
Oh, I don't really. I actually owe more than I have.
Well, I understand that, sweetie.
Okay.
But it feels to me like you do have money, meaning that you do have what is needed in order for food and for purchasing the things that you know holistically can help you. So I do have abundance around you. It may not be the abundance that you're looking for.
Okay.
But I'm not finding that you're destitute, sweet.
No.
So from that particular standpoint, what maybe we're doing is maybe we step back, you and I, and clearly look at the objective isn't to move. Maybe the objective is for you to look at the holistic perspective of healing from the shaman Native American perspective. Maybe we've got our eye on the wrong ball, really, sweetie, when I was feeling this is that it was getting you out of there and moving, but maybe we need to get you focusing, again with the energy, focusing on what you can bring to others from a holistic standpoint. What kind of healing? What did you learn from your nursing? What do you know that didn't work, and what do you know that did work? I keep coming up with healing touch with you for some reason.
Yes,
Reiki comes up with you for some reason.
Yes.
I keep coming up with vibration, tuning forks, singing bowls, rattles, drums from a healing perspective. Looking at supplements, but not really supplements from the way that we think of the supplements we buy at maybe Costco or Sam's Club or somewhere, the grocery stores, but looking at the flower essence, looking at the Bach flower remedies, looking at rescue remedy, looking at those things. That's who you are. I mean, for me, when I shifted my perception with you, it's like, wow, we've got a lot of tools in there that you could start bringing forward that really don't require a lot of physical energy. It's taking time to gain the clarity, looking at what you learn from these things, and putting together a process, and then teaching others about the holism of Bach flower remedies or essential oils or the gift of Reiki or you using healing touch and things. You're just a teacher archetype.
Yeah, I have been working with essential oils and definitely do Reiki, and I have tried to, you know, teach, and I have, and then, you know, these things, like I take a purple rice supplement that's very expensive, but nothing else on the market really does it, and I was hoping that, you know, if you get enough people under you, then it pays for yours, and it starts, and then it stops, and so I haven't really...
Yeah, and I'm going to join you on that one, sweetie, because I, touching your energy, I can see where it starts and stops, because here it was, we started out, you're going to move. And it was like, oh no, it's going to stop. Because it was like we had the cart before the horse. And so it's like, okay, well, we're going to move. It's like, no, we're not going to move. We can't move. We don't have this. We don't have that. We don't have this. And it goes on and on and on. And then it's like, let's turn it around. Oh, if we looked at it this way, because it's not going to take a lot for you to get that momentum going, is let's look at it from that healer that you are, that teacher that you are, and let's focus on being a teacher. And then if we focused on being a teacher, then the tools that to be a teacher, this is the energy of 2012, the energy of being a teacher then would give you the tools and the toolboxes that you, your medicine bag that you have in order to be able to use. That momentum doesn't have stop to it, honey.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, Carol, I have to tell you that for some reason when you were talking about the Indian drumming and stuff, which I've never... I think it's fascinating, but I've never personally looked into, felt I wanted to look into it, and I just got total chills. I mean, even to the top of my head. So
And you do have, and see, if you, for that, let's look at the momentum of that. If you decided to start looking into drumming, that keeps the momentum and the focus and the concentration, the clarity going. And that can be looking at, you know, drumming, the impact of drumming. What does it do? What did the Native Americans, what did the shamans use it? And it's not just Native Americans. I mean, it's something that's well known throughout the entire, you know, globe as far as the power of drumming and rattlings and recreating harmony back in the body. So now we have momentum. And then what if it was like, well, maybe I just want to visit a drumming circle. Boom, there's momentum there. What if I want to create a drum? Boom, there's movement there. Maybe I need a rattle. There's movement there. All of those, none of those things, honey, have stopped anywhere when I'm touching it.
Oh, okay.
Now, is it what you will finally do? I don't know that, because it's part of your medicine bag. It may very well be, Sharon, in kind of an odd way, sweet, that you chose this house, not the house, but the area with the grounds, and what I'm picking up from being that kind of illness, that mental despair that I pick up, that kind of hospital energy that I pick up with it. Interesting as a nurse that you chose that area. Maybe the real gift of this is not to heal the house, but to heal the land. And maybe this whole process, I believe, is not a mistake that you're there. It's to help you recognize when we're in disharmony with ourselves, then our physical body is ill.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something bigger in the clarity here, honey.
Okay.
And I don't feel stop around that at all.
Okay.
But when I look at moving, it's like, oh, my gosh, okay, well, Carol, how are you going to help her move beyond the financial part? She has abundance, but how am I going to help you do that? Well, that's big, hun. That's going to take some time. Because with the money and with the abundance, I've got your mom, I've got your dad, I've got your mom's mom, I've got your grandmother. I've got so many people's energy that's tied to that financial lack of abundance in the way that the life is viewed and that suffering. Oh, my gosh, let's go and let's find a different way to do it, and let's look at the things that you can that have the flow that don't have stop to it.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, and that's what I haven't been able to tap into. So,
Well, it's very difficult too, sweetie. This is why we do what we do. You do what I do, you do, and I do what you do what you do, and I do what I do. And the thing is that the gift of all of this, Sharon, is that while you may not realize, honey, you just gave me a great gift. You just gave all of us as listeners great gifts, because when we hit those stops, maybe what it's saying is this isn't the right course. Maybe we need to go back and find where we don't find those stops, where we don't find those self-judgments, where we just go with the flow and we know that we're going to have all that we need in order to be able to thrive and survive and that we can flourish. So what a great gift you gave all of us.
Yes, and thank you for articulating that in such a beautiful way. I took a quote there, so thank you so much.
Absolutely. Now, the one thing I will tell you, out of all of the things that I picked up with your house, very quickly to kind of close that off, the one thing that I did pick up with your house is the culprit at this time is not the furnace, it's the furnace filters. It feels to me like the furnace is cleansing and sucking and doing all the thing it needs to. And, honey, I would probably change furnace filters once a month.
Oh, okay.
Because I think the furnace is finally doing what the other furnace wasn't doing.
Uh-huh.
It's cleansing, but it also is creating kind of like this dust trap is what it feels like.
Oh.
So I would just look at cleansing those things. Getting rid of them. Think of all the stops in your life as furnace filters, and they just need to be replaced.
Oh, okay. Because right now it's a brand new filter, but yeah, maybe just starting up. Maybe it's going to take a while for that furnace to kick in totally.
Oh, absolutely. And check it in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and see where that is, and then let go of it. I hate to run, my love. I need to. Everybody, pay attention to your second and fourth chakra. If you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders and your shoulders are hurting, it's a way to step back and to say, is it mine? Is it theirs? And then to be able to reconnect with yourself and to find that joy, find that peace, find that grace, find that happiness that you're looking for inside. Light and love to all of you. Wonderful holidays, Thanksgiving to all of you. I look forward to being back on the air in a very short period of time. I'm going to take a week off. So what you'll do is you're going to have a replay, but light and love. Enjoy. Happy holidays. Find gratitude in every moment of every day. Light and love. Bye.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.